So this sound clip is about the lecture seven. So this is the second lecture about credit risk. And if you look at page two of lecture seven, then you can see an overview of the content of the lecture. And the following pages, page three, page four, page five, they contain sort of a recapitulation of lecture six and a different way of putting it a little bit, but a way to remember what we did last time. And I don't think I will go through it, but I think it's a very good idea that you read through it and see that you remember and understand, and when you see it in a different way. So I think it's a very good idea to stop my sound clip, or this sound clip, right now and read through pages 2 to 5. And then we've done that, open it again. I'll talk about the page six. So read page 2 to 5 and then start the sound clip again. Okay, so now we're back at the page six. So we're at page six of lecture seven, the second credit risk lecture. And the first equation on top of page six, that's just to recall what it's all about. What we really are interested in is the distribution of the total loss, the loss in the credit portfolio. So we're interested in the distribution function F sub capital LM of X, which is a probability that LM is less than or equal to X. And by completely direct algebra, this is the same as the rightmost expression in 7, that is FLM of X, the probability that the loss is less than or equal to X, is equal to the probability that NM is less than or equal to X divided by L inside of sort of strange brackets. These strange brackets means that you take the biggest integer, which is smaller than X over LM. So brackets X over LM, that's the smallest integer, the biggest integer, which is smaller than X over L. So you have to think this through. And why can we do that? Well, that's because NM is an integer valued variable. So it can only be smaller than 7.37 if it's smaller than 7. So if X over L is 7.37, then the probability that NM is less than or equal to 7.37 is just the same as the probability that NM is less than or equal to 7. So here below is the explanation in written. The Y in this parenthesis, it's the integer part of Y rounded downwards. So pi in parentheses equals 3. And then, of course, the probability that N capital NM is less than or equal to some little n is just the same as the sum of the probabilities that NM is equal to K, for K going to 0 to N. So inserting or taking this into 7, you get that the distribution function of LM taken at the point X is the sum where K goes from 0 to X over L in these parentheses. So of the probabilities nm equals k. And then the earlier formulas gives you the probability for nm equals k. This is given by 5 in this lecture, these slides. So now we're on page 6 on lecture 7. So in particular, if z is a continuous random variable, then you get the expression 9. And again, the sum goes up to the biggest integer, which is smaller than x over l. And this sort of biggest integer smaller than x over l means that this distribution function is piecewise constant, or flat, on each interval 0 to l, l to 2l, m minus 1 l, m to ml, and so on. And that's why, I suppose it's obvious. But if it isn't obvious to you, think about it. And there's new notation, so it's good to get used to it. So the next page, page 7 or lecture 7, page 7 says first that this formula for the loss distribution in 8 or 9 is a bit complicated and maybe hard to compute for large values of m. With modern computing equipment, this is maybe less true than it used to be, but still, both understanding and computing can be better if one does approximations. Computations become simpler and easier, and one understands better what's happening. And this is with the LPA, large portfolio approximation, and this is formula 10. That is that if f of x is a distribution function of p of z, this mixing random variable, then we know that the probability that nm over m is less than or equal to x tends to f of x as m tends to infinity, where f of x then is the probability that p of z is less than or equal to x. And of course, recalling what we said on the previous slide, if you know this, then you also know the distribution of, or approximately know the distribution of Lm. And this is said on this last bullet point. This is given in formulas. So we get from the large portfolio approximation that FLm of x goes to f of x divided by Lm as m tends to infinity. So again, we have the large portfolio approximation in 11. And we can use this instead to compute things instead of the involved expressions in 9. And this could be is useful when you do risk measures, which is typically one would do. So you might want to do value at risk or expected shortfall for a credit portfolio. And what comes next on on the following pages, starting with page 9 is a discussion of value at risk. And this, what comes now in pages 9 to, I look how far it goes, to page, I think, 18. So from page 9 to page 18, it goes through value at risk, which you've already seen once more, and it handles one more complication. And this typically takes up quite a lot of space in books on credit risk, but it's really a very small thing. And that is that inverse is not obvious how you define an inverse if you have a function which is not strictly increasing. which is not continuous and strictly increasing. And so discussion is about this, and you'll see it in these books. And it might be good to read it and try to understand it. But when you understand it, the first thing you should do, and what you should try to do, is you draw the following plot. You draw the plot of the distribution function of Lm, and then you see in this plot that the distribution function is stepwise constant, is constant on the interval 1 over L, then it jumps up to the interval 1 over L, 1 times L to 2 times L, and so on. And you draw this picture, and then the problem is, how do you define inverses? Well, inverses you get you want the inverse at some point y on the y-axis. You take this point y on the y-axis, and if you don't hit one of the flat things, it's not so clear. If you hit one of the flat things, it's not so clear how you define the inverse. And that's all this is about. It's not a big deal, but if you go on with this, you'll meet it. It's a good to try to understand the problem or the issue, this pretty small issue. So, as I said, this goes on until page 17. So you should read up to page 17 on your own, and I'll just stop here. So thanks for today.